you got to research, okay, so if something does happen to that person, I have to have bonding insurance. So I have to literally pay. So I have to have insurance if somebody gets sick. I serve you something and you have an allergic reaction, that fall on me. I have to now give you my insurance information. You could file it.
Welcome to Expressive Espresso.
Today is about the power of you.
Anytime I'm scared of something, I feel impelled to attack it.
Expressive Espresso is the coffee shop for leaders like you.
If you don't fail, you're not even trying.
Expand your knowledge about personal development.
Anything that starts with I don't want to work is already a problem.
Entrepreneurship.
Invest in things that you understand.
And leadership.
You will change the world.
This is Expressive Espresso with Alexis DeAngicoli.
Thank you all for tuning into Expressive Espresso, the podcast, and we are celebrating incredible women. With this series, I've had the opportunity to interview several different women, and I'm lucky to call her family. But I'm going to digress into that because I'm excited that I'm able to interview her. Not only is she inspiring, but she also has a great business. And we're going to start from the beginning. But I do have the owner and founder of A Splash of Jazz. Let's begin with the first question. Oftentimes, I've met a lot of people who have been fortunate enough to have their own side businesses and their side hustles. You know, we're often given this American dream as far as go to school, have the white picket fence, have a great job and things like that. And we can't have that now. So what made you want to disrupt the American dream?
What made me disrupt it? I think I had my own goals. I didn't want to go by anybody else's perception of what my life was supposed to be. You can tell me a story all day long and tell me that's how it's supposed to be at 32. Like, you're supposed to be married. You're supposed to do this. That don't work for everybody, especially with this generation now. I don't. It's nothing that I'm really pressed for. Like, I'm more pouring into me because I've had all the shares of bad luck, or not necessarily bad luck, but the odds were against me more. But I think that was a motivation to keep going, because the things that I've faced, some people haven't made it through, and I feel like it's a greater purpose for me to make it through.
With the odds and the things that you've faced, using that and being resilient in that, using that as your motivation, what were the odds, some of the odds that you had to overcome?
So at 24, I lost my first child. At 7 months pregnant, I went through a full term, like, birth. So I had an epidural, went through full labor, pushed out my baby knowing that she was dead. I think that messes with your mental more than anything, because that's the one person you're supposed to protect. And for a long time, I blamed myself that I didn't protect my child. But I had to come to terms that it was, and I see the reasons now why, but back then it was like a painful pill. Like, this was supposed to be my happy ending with this guy, like, but now looking back, it's like that wasn't for me. And I mean, it's misfortunate that I had to go through actually losing a child. But I think it made me better. It gave me a better mindset. It gave me more optimistic view on life. After that, I found out 3 months later that I had colon cancer. So 24, just losing a child, finding out you having colon cancer when you were just literally pregnant. And they're feeling on your stomach like, you didn't feel this? No. Like, I was pregnant. I went to the hospital thinking I had the flu. And I was in hospital for a week, and every day it was something new. After that, I watched my mom die. And that was my best friend. I felt like for a long time, that was the only person who understood me. I'm trying so hard not to get emotional. But I feel like I failed her in so many ways because I couldn't take away the things that I knew. I messed up so much when I was younger, thinking that I always had forever to fix it, and forever came a little bit quicker than what I was ready for. I see signs of her around me. So, I mean, I don't hold it. You know what I'm saying? I used to ask God why. And I think my question, as I got older and I grew and I prayed, it went from being why me to why not me. And I feel like when I tell a lot of people that, they're like, what? I'm like, why not me? Why was I exempt from going through the things I went through? I mean, obviously, if it was placed in my life, it was meant that I was supposed to get through it. And, I mean, you just use it as motivations. There's good days, there are bad days. But I think overall, it's helped me grow into the person I'm supposed to be.
Well, I thank you for sharing that and all of that with me, with my audience. Oftentimes, when some of my guests come on here, it's like releasing, you know. I hope that this journey within this interview process and everything like that, and within your own life journey, is like that with you. So again, thank you for sharing that. I'm glad that you touched on, you know, the bad times, the trials and tribulations, because there's oftentimes, as far as with social media, you know, people only share those best parts of them. And for you to use those trials and tribulations that you went through, losing your mother as your best friend, my mother is my best friend. I can only imagine at that time, at that age of 24, that it was, everything seemed downhill. So what made you use those things to make you get back up again, to make you gain your resilience again?
Well, I know. I prayed for a peace that surpasses all understanding. And for a long time, I think that I was angry. I was real angry. I'm not going to lie. I lashed out on people. For some years, I was angry for years. I didn't, to me, because I kept taking hit after hit after hit, I never had time to heal from the first downfall. So it was like, and I'm not going to say a downfall, I'm going to say a growing moment. So I never took time to grow or to heal or to have a moment to be transparent or vulnerable, because after losing a child, again, not being optimistic or open-minded, I was very closed-minded to a lot of things, and it made me angry. Now I'm still fixing bonds that I messed up until I just start praying for a peace that surpasses understanding. And then it's just like, I'm not going to say that I woke up one day and it wasn't there, but I could tell the difference. And I think that some people, when they get hurt or they don't heal from, I call them traumatic bonds with people, they don't heal, they just keep going, it traps you at the age and you don't know how to let go. And I just think, I'm thankful that actually I learned how to move past the obstacles in my life. Because again, I was angry for so long, and it just was like somebody had to sit me down and be like, you don't stop, you're going to self-sabotage. Like, you're on the road to self-destruction, and there's nothing you can do about it if you don't change the way you go. And that's when it just started aligning. Like, I seen people, I lost a best friend for 15 years, and I cut her off. And I mean, it hurts. I still miss her. I still love her. I wish her all the best, but we on two different paths. And you have to sometimes realize or analyze the people in your life and understand where they play a part. Some people are seasonal. Some people teach you lessons. And it's just like, I know we hear that all the time, but you don't actually sit back and be like, so what's your purpose in my life? What am I benefiting from having you here? Because if you're not pushing me to be better, if we're not pushing each other to grow, if we're not, we just out here partying and, you know what I'm saying, smoking and doing whatever, like, we're not going nowhere. We're not 18 no more. Like, you gotta have it together or you're just gonna be stagnant. And it's a sad place to be. I know some people that's doing the same thing that they did from when they were in college. And that, when I say that's sad because that means that you don't have the, you're not being vulnerable or you're not being transparent with yourself enough to be like, oh, okay, well, I can do this. Or you'll start something you won't finish. It's like, we too old.
It's nothing like seeing old pastimes or childhood friends and they're doing the same thing. It's almost, for example, before this interview, I was having a dinner with Autumn, and we were just talking about that, how she's 17 and she has to be focused and things like that. And she just, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing too much of this, but she just went through a relationship. And I told her, you know, how I felt about it. But I told her that as a parent, we unfortunately have to witness our children fail. Even, you know, Jamar, you know, my husband, have to witness each other fail, but we have to be supportive and, you know, lift them back up. Your background, what made you in the beginning decide, okay, I need to start off in the medical field, but then I need to branch off into something that I enjoy, which is a splash of jazz?
Taking care of my mom for 6 years kind of made, like, seeing her go through that and seeing the people that were connected to her with helping her, I think gave me a bigger passion to help people. Because everybody don't have that supportive family, or everybody don't have a family that can help, like, or care enough about them to actually sit back and be like, oh, okay, well, you need this and a third. Like, I've seen some of the saddest cases of people who don't have nobody. Like, I've held hands to people who don't have family, who kids don't deal with them because they won't do certain things, or because they messed up in their, like, younger days, or, like, they just don't deal with, like, I've seen it all. And just was like, it's sad, it's heartbreaking. So it's like, and my boss asked me a valuable question of, if you had to compare every patient to somebody in your family, who would it be and why? And I had to use my mom, because at the end of the day, like, no matter what she was facing, she always woke up with a smile on her face. No matter what she was facing, she woke up with a smile on her face. It wasn't nothing. She couldn't be feeling the best, or she could be frustrated from something that we've done earlier this week. But she had the lightest spirit, and it wasn't nothing like that she can get mad about. Like, she was humble in so many ways. And she used to tell me, like, oh, I'm, you know what I'm saying, I can't be there for you, or I can't be strong for you because I'm going through my own thing, not knowing that she was my motivation for a lot of things. She could go through it, I can go through it. It wasn't nothing that, you know what I'm saying, like, I knew every day she would wake up with a smile on her face. Nothing that I was going through, she was dying and still woke up with a smile on her face. And if she could face that, nothing, and I mean nothing, that I was going through was a reason for me to, you know what I'm saying, be angry or do anything reckless. Like, because she had every reason to wake up miserable, or to wake up sad, or to make up angry. Like, and she did. Like, she lived. Like, she lived her truth. She lived her life. She loved her life. It didn't. Like, it. She had her sad moments, but she still had that positive spirit. And it was just like, there's no way that I can't, like, not be like you. Like, I call her my leading lady because it's so much that I inspire to be like her. Like, I'll pray to God that one day I'm resilient like she is. I ain't there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not even gonna lie to myself. I'm not there yet. But I think that I'm getting there. And I press to, every time I think about it, I keep her in mind. Because there's some days that when I'm in healthcare, there are trying patients. They're the ones that's going to push your buttons. They're going to see how far they can go. Then again, it's the ones that, you feel sorry for because they don't have nobody. You just want to, I had a patient tell me that's all I ever wanted was for somebody to listen to me. And it's like, that's sad, but it's like, it's touching because it's like, I'm going to be that person for you. Like I tell my patients all the time, you need to talk, just call. I'm here. I don't care if I'm the busiest person in the world. Like somebody got to listen to you. I'd rather you talk to me than you hold it in and you make yourself miserable. Because you only going to carry that hurt and that pain. Like, I've cried with my patients. I've unfortunately watched my patients die in front of me. Like, that by itself and being stressed out by that, I think maybe want to do something more exciting. So we got into the bartending thing. Like, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, first it started off with, like, literally just a bonding moment with me and my best friend. Okay. Like, literally we just was like, oh, okay, we're going to take the bartending class. Not knowing that, I actually was like, okay, so this might be a little quick little money gig for me. It's like, it'll make a little bit for me. I can, you know what I'm saying, play a little bit with it and see, do my own little thing. And then I started researching and seeing what I needed to do and take and to make it successful. And it just, now, like, bartending has become my life. Like, literally, if I'm not at the hospital, I'm bartending, like.
And it's interesting, the two. So, like, you're serving pretty much at the hospital, and now you're serving with your own business, A Splash of Jazz, but you are also creating an atmosphere. How important is it to you, your guest, to have that experience with A Splash of Jazz?
I want to make everybody's moment that you feel like you want a bartender to be memorable. Anybody can be a bartender. Anybody can mix a drink. Anybody can label themselves a bartender. I've seen, after becoming a bartender, I've seen so many people say that they're bartenders, and it's like, oh, okay, so how you make a tequila sunrise? So you a true bartender, right? You could tell me anything. I should be able to call your drink out to you. You should be able to tell me how to make it. And I could say, what's an Irish car bomb? I don't know. Okay, so that's strike one. So what's a liquid marijuana? Like, I don't know. Oh, okay, so we're going to go a little bit more simple. What's a liquid marijuana? I mean, a LIT. Like, everybody drinks Long Island. So everybody should know what goes. It's literally every liquor. So you can't go wrong. And people still get it wrong. It's like, okay. So, and it's sad because then they get hired to do an event and they don't know half of what you got to do to make it professional. Like, they ratchet. They'll show up in, like, some see-through. It's like, baby, like, what are you doing? And it's just like, I want to create that memorable moment. You be like, oh, okay, I had a bartender. She was professional. She did what she needed to do. We got drunk. That's the most important part, because, I mean, I hate to go to a party and it be too strong or, you know what I'm saying, too weak. Nah, I want to make sure that you feel it, but you don't feel it too much, so that much you can come back for another. And that takes a lot of practice, because you got to be able to count out your measurements to see, like, what goes with what to mix it perfectly. So I've gotten a lot of people drunk by being my taste testers. But, yeah, they... I finally got it right, but I think that creating that experience, I don't want to ruin nobody's special day. So I don't want to come to the wedding and be your bartender. You'd be like, mm-mm, girl, that bartender sucks. She didn't know how to make this, that, and third. Like, she couldn't open a bottle of wine to pour me a glass. Like, she don't know how to do this. It's like, you're not going to be talking about me. Talking about, oh, yeah, I had Splash Jazz. She was crap. Because my name is everything to me. Like, I need my respect. So I think that that's the most, like, my reputation as a bartender, I think, helps me, pushes me, motivates me. Not saying that every moment is great, but it's a learning experience. Like, any entrepreneur needs to be able to create, like, take constructive criticism, because everybody ain't gonna be happy. Everybody gonna have something to say. Like, they gonna be like, okay, well, you could have did it. And you can't get mad. Like, I've met hairstylists, I've met cooks, and they can't take constructive criticism. It's like, everybody's not gonna like what you do. Like, and it's not your job to get upset. It's your mindset of, okay, so you didn't like this, so how about this? You know what I'm saying? How about I try it this way? And I'd be like, okay, so you ain't like it that way, you think I should do it this way, so how about this? I'm gonna make it, and you tell me what you think about it, and you tell me which one is better there. You gotta prove them people wrong. Like, that's your motivation.
So speaking of that, because I know you weren't this perfecto, not perfecto, but this great bartender that you are now. So let's speak on that failure, that awful event that you had and how you use that to be resilient.
I think my first awful event is when I double booked myself. And I was in, I think I was 2 hours away from Greensboro. And I had a different event at 11. It was a wedding. And I went and I told the girl, she had already booked me for the time in and out. It had a schedule conflict, not realizing. And I think I went in, I told the wedding planner. I was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I have to leave. I think it was only like 30 minutes early. So I was like, I had to leave. I got to be somewhere else at this time. Oh, it's fine. When I was packing up and leaving, that's when the problem came. Because it's like, okay, well, I still got people here. What am I supposed to do? Girl, I don't know, because I told you at the beginning you're supposed to be figuring it out. And I think that mindset, instead of kind of trying to make it right, it was like I had that, okay, well, I don't, you know what I'm saying? That's not my problem. Like, I told you, so that's a you problem. Not realizing that, no, it was a me problem because it was my mistake. And I should have comped them somehow. Like, okay, well, I have to leave 30 minutes. I'm going to comp you out some of your money. Because that's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not your fault. That's my fault for not paying attention to my schedule. Like, because you're starting out as a bartender, you're fresh and you don't, like, people don't really know you. Like, you don't get booked like that. So it's like, okay, well, maybe if this is, like, you'll have a booking here and then 4 months later you don't have nothing. Or you'll have a wedding and it's only, like, 20 people. And then that's it for the summer. It's like, okay, what I'm doing wrong? Like, what's going on? Like, but not realizing you have to research. And I have a lot of bartender friends. I lucked up with that. The person that trained me actually became one of my good friends. And we actually work at a bar together. So she kind of gave me the ins and outs of everything. Like, I think using your resources has to be the key thing when you're bartending it. Not even just bartending, but in a business period that you have to use your resources because you're not going to know it all.
With the resources, I know that you said that you lucked up and you met other bartenders and stuff, but how do you market yourself?
So marketing, you have to pay attention to, you got to research like your field and how everybody else is presenting it. And you have to actually like take different tips. So I did a photo shoot of me making drinks. Then I did a branded photo shoot of just me to kind of put out there like, okay, meet the mixologist. Like, you met me doing the drinks, so meet me personally. I then did my first drink tasting. Okay, so I got you to meet me. I got you to see me doing drinks. Now I want you to actually taste my drinks. And I did that May 1st of last year. And I basically had people come out and be like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to make this. So I made 4 different punches. I think it was a Blue Lagoon, a tequila sunrise, a strawberry tequila sunrise, a Blue Lagoon, a Henny strawberry Henny. And I can't recall the last one, but I had 4 different drinks and that's what you tasted. Like, and it was just 4 custom drinks and you voted on it. And I had pouches. At the time I was doing pouches, and you, if you wanted to buy the drink that you wanted, I'd let you pour your own drink out the cooler. And that's what it was like. And I think that was like, okay, that showed people maybe she is serious, because you don't get somebody that's gonna, and I fed them. Like, I fed you, turned like full course meal, fed you, then turned around and got you drunk. So it's like, okay, well, maybe she do know what she doing. Like, maybe this is something, you know what I'm saying, she kind of want to pursue full time. Because if I'm spending my money to get you drunk, again, I don't support everybody having. So, I mean, I think that that just helped me grow, because it was like, okay, I can do this and I can do something else. And I can, looking back now, like the things that I did then, it's all like the way I, if I did a drink tasting this year or in the future,
and you should,
I definitely would do a lot of things differently. Not saying that I did anything wrong back then, but I've seen a lot of things and I now know how to utilize what I've seen. Like, I know I have caterers that I don't have to worry about paying. You gonna pay you. That's your problem. Like, you figured out, like, a decorator, like,
I literally decorated the whole building. Like, it was just a lot. It was a very stressful moment trying to throw an event for people. I realized that too. So don't overwhelm yourself trying to work two jobs and throw an event. Like, if you could pay somebody to do it, pay somebody to do it. Because, whoo, baby, I was ready to pull my hair out and say, I canceled that thing about 3 times. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do it. It's not working for me. Like, you got to have patience with the business, because it's going to be some days that you make $1,000 and you got 4 or 5 bookings and you rolling. And then it's going to be some days you're like, I ain't made $20 off a drink in like 3 weeks. What's going on? Like, again, is this for me? Like, I'm ready to throw my white flag in. Like, this not that. Like, But I mean, you gotta have patience with it. And I think utilizing your, like, your age groups. Like, so if I did older groups, I would do old fashions and Moscow mules and things of that nature. Things that I know the stable drinks. If I did younger people, LITs, blue motorcycles, Irish car bombs, like, trash cans. Like, you got to be able to utilize the age groups that you're trying to service. And I think people don't research, like, your delivery and everything else has to be different. So you have to really, like, research if you're gonna do, like, any entrepreneurship. But basically, like, bartending, like, you really have to see who you're catering to, because your crowd and your audience is definitely a big factor.
You know, I think that's a great answer. I was also thinking while you were explaining that, that you should definitely, well, you know me, I'll throw a party for anything. But but I think that you should definitely do it, because you're celebrating a year and there are things that you have done differently that you have noticed, you know, what you could do differently. Like, I am an advocate for hiring people to help. If it's within your budget, yes. If they can clean this, if they can do that, yes. And that is your problem, not mine, because I have to be, as a business owner, I have to be focused on this. Or as, you know, having other jobs, I have to be focused on this, you know, just like with you, you know, you have to be focused on your patients or within your other jobs. One of my questions was going to be, how important do you think it is to get certifications? How important do you think it is to keep up with the skills in the marketplace?
It's important to get certified, because if something happened to people, it's on you. And the police can come to you, because they like, okay, you were supposed to be the bartender. You're supposed to be responsible. And in my contract, it states, if I don't feel comfortable serving you, I'm not going to serve you. I don't care how drunk you tell me you're not. If I look at you and I say, you're too intoxicated, I'm not serving. You can get some water, though. And if you have a problem with it, then I'm not the person for you. Because I'm not going to be the reason to be like, oh, okay, well, your eyes are shut. You stumbling. I'm going to still serve you this Henny and Coke. Like, no, I'm going to serve you some water. And we're going to take your keys. And we're going to figure out if we need to call you an Uber. If you got somebody here that can take you home. Because it's not going to be on my conscience if you crash and kill somebody or you kill yourself. Because they can come straight to me and be like, okay, you fed her that alcohol. That's you. Is I think that's when people don't understand that when you say, oh, I'm a bartender, that person's life that you are serving the alcohol, that's solely, and that says it in the certificate, like, it's on you. If the police want to, they can make your life a living hell if you serve somebody and something happens to anybody. Like, somebody died, that's your murder charge. That's a lot to swallow when you a successful person. Like, oh, okay, somebody got in a car accident and they killed somebody else. So you looking at attempted murder or conspiracy to murder, because you got to research, okay, so if something does happen to that person, I have to have bonding insurance. So I have to literally pay. So I have to have insurance if somebody gets sick. I serve you something and you have an allergic reaction, that fall on me. I have to now give you my insurance information. You could file it. I've seen it all. I've seen people that do not know. Like, you supposed to be making me a blue motorcycle. You hand me something brown. What is this? And you tell me you don't know. Baby, no. Like, I don't know what I put in it. Then I'm not drinking it. You can't tell me what you put in it. I don't want it. So, I mean, I think that you being certain, knowing what you're getting yourself into, fully before you take on being a bartender or any entrepreneurship, like any business. You have to know exactly the ins and outs, because it's not going to be all black and white. You got to research, okay, so if something does happen to that person, I have to have bonding insurance. So I have to literally pay. So I have to have insurance if somebody gets sick. I serve you something and you have an allergic reaction, that fall on me. I have to now give you my insurance information. You could file it. I literally worked with a caterer. One of my friends is a caterer. And the burning tube, it actually was my fault. I set my leg on fire because it fell over. Like, I burnt my pants. It didn't hurt because it was just like the liquid. But still, like, somebody behind me while I'm trying to put my leg out, is they boot on fire. So it's like, what in the world? So, like, literally, she was like, I'm good. It didn't hurt. So my friend was like, if you want the insurance information, let me know. And it's just like simple things like that. You have to know how to handle it. Like, you can't freak out. Like, somebody got to be the calm mind. And I can't be freaking out because you over here passed out, not non-responsive, and I got called 911, because first thing they ain't going to say is who served her what and what you put in it. Like, I got to be able to be calm enough to answer these questions if it come to that. So me freaking out, like, I didn't mean to do it. Like, no, like, this is what I served her. She didn't look intoxicated. She didn't tell me that she had any allergies. Did I ask? Yes, no. Like, you have to let it be known. Like, I list, when I make an event, I list every ingredient from that drink so that I know that, okay, you allergic to oranges, so we're not going to put no oranges in your drink because your throat not going to close up on me.
You can't even put that together. You know, just imagine, oh, yeah, I went to jail because I served somebody the wrong drink. And when that's just like due diligence, you know, like, but anyway, I'm going to digress on that. My other question is, we are in 2023 and we have gone through, everybody has gone through the pandemic. We're back outside. There are things and experiences that we want to do. What are some of the goals that you have for A Splash of Jazz in 2023?
More successful. Have more bookings. Advertise myself more. Be more consistent in that. I actually want to do another, well, this kind of counts for that, a radio interview. So I could check that off. I have a life coach. And at the beginning of the year, actually December, because we were a month out, so we made it intentional. She had me write down a list of things that I wanted to do going into 2023. And it could have been business. It could have been anything. I think, and I started off and I was like, okay, well, give me the patience and the understanding. Help me save more money. But when it comes to my business, help me be more consistent to be marketing. You always have to stay ahead of your competitor. Like, if your competitor is releasing Valentine's drinks, baby, you need to be releasing Valentine's and spring. Because you can't, like, you always have to be one step ahead from the people. And everybody thinks that they're a bartender. Literally everybody thinks they're a bartender. And I didn't see a lot of stuff. Like, people just be like, okay, I'm a bartender. Be like, did you take a bartender class? No. Okay, so you selling alcohol with no license. Like, we, to people. So if the ALE get wind of this, you going to jail, baby.
Well, that's a good way to end it. And we're coming to the most pivotal question asked on Expressive Espresso, kind of like a staple. You were speaking about wisdom. You were speaking about patience. Your 12-year-old self, 12 is a pivotal age. What would you tell your 12-year-old self now about your life and what you may or may not want to do differently?
I would tell my 12-year-old self, be your own person. It's okay to stand out. It's okay to divert from everybody else. Everybody's timeline isn't your timeline. Everybody's pace isn't your pace. If they're meant to be in your life, it'll happen. Stop trying to rush things and just be patient with yourself. You're not going to know everything. And just love on yourself. Like, you have to love yourself more. And don't fall into what your friends are doing or things of that nature. Like, you have to be patient with yourself. Like, give yourself time to grow. You don't have to do it so fast because, no, not every day is guaranteed, but you got time. Stop trying to figure everything out right then. Like, you have time to figure it out. And I think that's 12 growing up. Like, you 12, I think that those lessons were more important when I was 15, 16. But definitely at 12. But it got more in-depth 15, 16. But, yeah, that's what I would tell myself. Like, and realize when it's time to walk away from things. Stop trying to fix things that you didn't break.
That's an ending. Stop trying to fix things that you did not break. I love that. So, Jazz Benton, where can they find you? Where can they book events? I know you are open to travel because that's going to be written in the contract. Okay. So, let everybody know where they can find you and where they can book you.
So, my Facebook is Splash of Jazz with 1Z. Instagram is Splash of Jazz with 3Zs. Booking information, you can just inbox me. Or email me at jebenton20@gmail.com. Just make sure when you do email me, you put in the subject bartending services so that I know to, hey, this is a red flag. If you don't get a response from me, resend it and make sure I respond. Just because I have a lot of emails that come in, it's kind of hard to screen them. But you are free to also visit my personal page, Jazz Benton, on Facebook. If you don't get a response from the Splash of Jazz, either one. And just say, hey, I sent you a message on your business page. And I just want to make sure that you got my message. I also have connections to caterers and different buildings. So we can all align. Like, if you have an event that you want to throw and you need a bartender, caterer, not just the bartender. I have connections to everybody, so.
And I will also have that in the show notes as well. So thank you again for tuning in to Expressive Espresso, the podcast. And as I always say, have a great week.